The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program, The Special 10, in which we are going to be continuing with our discussion with regards to the lives of those 10 blessed individuals and those 10 special companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam who gained the glad tidings of paradise in this very world. And a point for us to keep in mind is that all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, indeed it is our belief that they are all dwellers of heaven. They're all destined for heaven and paradise. And also we see at multiple points in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, multiple occasions at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where he guaranteed or promised paradise to various individuals. But then why do we discuss these 10 specific companions alayhim radwan? The speciality in particular with regards to these 10 companions is that they receive the glad tidings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all in one go. All of these 10 are in paradise. So for example, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was mentioned, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, and so on and so forth. So all 10, their names were given and it was told, he is in paradise, he is in paradise, he is in paradise. So this was a unique sort of a way of promising paradise in the sense that even though the other companions alayhim radwan have at various points in their life been promised paradise, but this is something unique to these 10 that they were all in one go promised paradise. But before continuing with our program, inshallah azawajal, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, a summary of a beautiful narration of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated, has appointed an angel at my grave, and Allah has given that angel the ability to hear the sounds of the entire creation. And whenever anybody recites salawat, durood upon me, meaning upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, then that angel presents his name, the reciter's name, along with the reciter's father's name as well in my court. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And it is presented as in this, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, has recited durood and salawat upon you. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salamun alayka ya Rasulullah. So, reciting salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seemingly small act. We don't really pay much attention to it as much as we should in normal circumstances. Alhamdulillah, within the Madani environment of Da'wat Islami, it is emphasized. But if we think about ourselves, you know, how often do we recite durood and salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many times a day have we specified a number, or at least do we have a particular target in mind? For example, in the Madani Inamat, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliya has given us the target of reciting at least 313 durood sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 313 salawat on a daily basis. So alhamdulillah, this is a target at least. And also the blessing of this is that the scholars, they say when you recite this amount, you will be regarded as those who recite durood and salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly. And there is also great reward in reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly. And we find that in various narrations. So alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful habit. And if we look at it, a seemingly small act, but so much is going on. You know, your durood pak, your salawat is being heard. And the scholars have narrated this, that how lucky is that person? How lucky is that person who is reciting salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ, that salawat is being heard by the angel and it is being presented in the court of the Prophet ﷺ, not only his salawat, not only his salam, but his name along with his father's name is also being presented in the court of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is something amazing, you know, your mentioning, your name being mentioned in the court of the Prophet ﷺ. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to recite durood upon the Prophet ﷺ abundantly. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. So, which companion are we going to be discussing today, radiyallahu ta'ala an? Let me give you a quick story first. And this shows, you know, the great power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great divine planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were people sometimes, like even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jahl, who was in very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who witnessed various miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet he did not accept Islam. And then on the other hand, you have somebody like Sayyidina Awais Qarni radiyallahu ta'ala an, who did not physically obtain the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, so apparently he did not go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gain blessings from his company directly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled so much love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart that he is even till this day known as a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all a grant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only this, that Sina Uwais Qarni radiyallahu anhu, he stayed his life just longing for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the extent, what was his reward? That even on the day of judgment, many Muslims would actually be entered and admitted into paradise due to the intercession of Sina Uwais Qarni radiyallahu anhu. So this is a grant and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, when we look at the divine planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at various points we witness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates means. Allah Almighty creates means for a person to obtain guidance. And this is the story of a Meccan young man, a young man from the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and his story of how he accepted Islam. So he narrates it himself that before accepting Islam, 3 days prior to my acceptance of Islam, I saw a dream. And in this dream, it was pure darkness. I was surrounded by darkness. It was darkness all around me. And I could not see anything. I couldn't understand what to do in this darkness or where to go. And then I saw, at a distance, I saw a moon, a shining moon. And I started to go towards the moon, started to approach the moon. And as I reached there, I saw that some other people had already reached there before me. And I saw that there was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. So I asked them that, when did you get here? When did you reach here? And they replied that, we've just arrived here now. So this young man dreaming. Now, he says, after this dream, 3 days after this dream, I found out that the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is delivering the message of Islam, preaching the message of Islam secretly. And at this point, the command hadn't been given to preach and spread Islam openly. So at this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was secretly preaching the message of Islam. And so he says that, I found out that he is preaching Islam secretly, and I understood, this is that moon which is going to take me from the darkness of disbelief into the light of faith and light of Iman. So he went to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, questioned him that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he questioned him that, what are you preaching? What are you preaching? What do you teach to people? What do you tell them? So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, you bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his blessed messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you bear witness and give testimony of these two things. And then he says, this young man, he says that instantly I accepted and I repeated that I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And this is how he accepted Islam. Now, who was this young man who was taken out from the darkness of disbelief into the light of Iman and the light of Islam? And this was something that, you know, leads to a person being cleansed apparently from the outer and from the inner. So who was this blessed individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to present himself in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accept Islam and recite the Shahada, recite these blessed words and enter into the fold of Islam? This was none other than the conqueror of Iran, the companion who was promised paradise, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this is the blessed companion whose life we'll be discussing briefly over the next few episodes, inshallah azza wa jal. So Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu an, what a great individual that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself introduces Sayyidina Sa'ad. Sayyidina Sa'ad radiyallahu an, he says that I asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, who am I? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, you are Sa'ad bin Malik bin Uhayb. Oh, there's also a pronunciation bin Wuhayb. So this is pronounced both with Wuhayb and Uhayb bin Abd Manaf bin Zuhra. And whomsoever attributes another lineage other than this towards you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is upon him. So this is the introduction of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas and his lineage directly from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we see that Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu an, his kunya is Abu Ishaq. And even in the time of ignorance, the time of Jahiliyyah, the era of ignorance, and after the acceptance of Islam, after Islam spread and the era of Islam, at both cases and at both times his name was Sa'ad. And sometimes you'll hear him being referred to as Sa'ad bin Malik and sometimes as Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas. The reason being that his father's name was Malik, but his father's kunya, his patronymic appellation was Abi Waqas or Abu Waqas. So when you say Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'ad the son of Abu Waqas, or Sa'ad ibn Malik, Sa'ad the son of Malik. So this is how you normally hear him referred to in the books of Seerah and the books of history. And the blessed lineage of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu an, actually 5 generations up, it meets and connects with the lineage of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Kilab bin Murrah. And his mother's name is Hamna bint Abi Sufyan bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf. Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala an narrates that once Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu an came to the blessed court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing Sayyidina Sa'ad, said that this is my uncle, this is my maternal uncle. If anybody has an uncle like this, then show me. And this was a great way of also showing the status of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an, and also because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us the respect in general of the relatives, and particularly the uncles in this particular case. And how is he the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the blessed mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the same tribe as Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. So because of this, he is referred to as the uncle or the maternal uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this teaches us something for us as the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should in general respect the elderly and particularly respect our relatives. And this is a lesson for us to take on board, because remember, our reason for listening to the blessed lives of these individuals is what? That we take on board things that we can implement into our own lives. So this blessed individual, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, even though the Prophet ﷺ, being a prophet, being the best of creation, is still praising him and showing such respect. And this is teaching us to also respect our relatives, and particularly in this case, you know, the uncles. So this is something that we need to keep in mind, we need to take on board, because this is something that's decreasing in our society, that empathy and showing sympathy for one another, for people around us, particularly our relatives. You know, sometimes months pass and we haven't even asked our relatives how they're doing, if they need any help, if they're in need of anything. Sometimes even a year or multiple years even pass and we don't get in touch with our relatives. And this is something for us to take on board. In the Islamic teachings, particularly our blood relatives and very close relatives, they have a great, great right. Now, this is another thing, you know, when it comes to good manners. Outside, we're very well behaved, very well mannered. Everybody sees a smile from us. Everybody sees our good side. But as soon as we enter our house, what happens then? Do our close blood relatives, our siblings, our brothers and sisters, our mother, our father, our grandparents, whoever lives with us, do they also see our good side? Do they also see our smile? Or our siblings waiting for that day when we go and smile then? Because we don't. Or is our mother still waiting for that day when you actually go and smile at her? When you go and kiss her feet or kiss your father's hands. You know, these are things that are means of showing respect in the Islamic tradition. And these are things that we are taught in our Islamic tradition to respect the elderly. So this is something that we take on board from this blessed individual's life, radiallahu ta'ala an. Moving on with the blessed life of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala an, his description, his physical description is given as that he was short in terms of height. But despite being short in terms of height, he had a great presence and great awe. So his presence would be felt. And he had this great presence. And along with that, he was physically very fit. His body was very firm. And he had a lot of hair on his body, and particularly his head hair is described as beautiful and curly. He had beautiful and curly hair. This is just a brief physical appearance of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala an. And as we heard, that he is from amongst those companions who has been promised paradise from the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is from amongst those companions who were some of the first to actually accept the message of Islam. Who were some of the first ones to accept Islam and accept the message of Islam. In terms of his age at the time of the acceptance of Islam, there are various narrations. He was either 17 or 19 years old. 17 or 19 years of age when he accepted Islam. And at this point, even the ruling for Salah being compulsory, that hadn't even been revealed yet. In terms of how many people had accepted Islam before Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, then there are a couple of opinions with regards to this. One opinion, one statement is that he was a third person to accept Islam, and he stayed in the court of the Prophet ﷺ for 7 days after having accepted Islam. And likewise, we hear that he was the seventh person to accept Islam. However, when we look at the books of Ahadith, for example, the Sahih Bukhari and so on and so forth, we find that this is something that's agreed upon, that on the day that he accepted Islam, nobody else accepted Islam. Nobody else had accepted Islam, so he was the only one on that day to accept Islam. Then, when we move on to his family, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, after having accepted Islam, his two blood brothers, you know, so brothers from the same mother and same father, they accepted Islam, Sayyidina Amir and Sayyidina Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And then, he had a sister who was from the same father, so Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas and her father is the same, but the mothers are different. Sayyidatuna Khalida bint Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anha, she also accepted Islam. There's another brother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu who shares the same father as him, but he was the one who martyred, normally we'd say broke, but in this case, the teeth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were martyred, or rather even sharpened, to become more beautiful. And he was the one who had done that, even though it was his intention behind it was evil. So he had done that, and because of this, the Prophet ﷺ had prayed for him to die upon disbelief, die in the state of disbelief. And the books of Seerah and the books of history narrate that he died within 1 year on the state of disbelief. So this is why, according to the majority of scholars, his Islam is not proven. So that was Utbah bin Abi Waqas, the brother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anh, but he had not accepted Islam. The brother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anh, Hazrat Sayyidina Amir radiallahu ta'ala anh, he is a person who migrated twice. So he migrated to Habsha, to Abyssinia or Ethiopia, and then also to Madinah al-Munawwarah, because initially some Muslims at the beginning migrated towards Habsha, where the king at that point, who also accepted Islam, accepted the Prophet ﷺ and the message of Islam, he gave the Muslims refuge at that point, and he really treated them well. And because of that, the Prophet ﷺ also prayed for him at the end of his at the end of the life of this king. The Prophet ﷺ personally prayed for him as well. And the Prophet ﷺ had, as we heard, given the guarantee of paradise to this blessed individual. But not only that, when we look at, for example, his brothers as well, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he states that the Prophet ﷺ one day said that now a heavenly individual, a dweller of paradise, is going to come to you. And at this point, he said that when he stated that, my brother Sayyidina Amir radiallahu anhu came. So this is also the status of the brother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. Likewise, we hear about Sayyidina Umair radiallahu anhu, who was the younger brother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. He had absolute bravery, and he even to the extent that he was really young, but he wanted to go and participate in the battle with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the family of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. And when we look at the companions alayhim ridwan, in reality, this is their life, where they only saw the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their ultimate goal. And this is something beautiful to comprehend and try to understand. Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he had, you can imagine, he had a good relationship with his parents and particularly with his mother. But when he accepted Islam, his mother started to oppose him. And to the extent that she said that, until you leave this religion, I'm going to sit out in the sun, and I'm not going to eat anything, and I'm not going to drink anything. Allahu Akbar. So think about it, that if you do not leave Islam, I will not eat anything, I will not drink anything, and because of this I will die. And then this would be because of you. So then till the end of days, till for the days to come, you'll be known as the murderer of your mother, or the one who caused his mother to die. So she started to do this. One day she did this, second day she did this, and the third day she also did this, and she became really weak, as we can imagine. So Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, now if this was a worldly matter, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu would have definitely gone and obeyed his mother straight away. She became really weakened because she hadn't been eating. Now, if this had been a worldly matter, he would have straight away obeyed his mother. But because the companions, alayhim ridwan, when they came to Islam, they fully entered Islam, and their main priority was Islam. So at this point, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he is that individual, he did not even care, even if it was his mother who was telling him to leave Islam. And this is a beautiful story, a beautiful lesson for us to take on board. So he went up to his mother, and he says that, oh my mother, you are, because she had become really weakened. So he says that, because this is a religious matter connecting to religion and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says that, oh my mother, if this had been a worldly matter, I would have not disobeyed you. I wouldn't have disobeyed you. But this is the matter of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he loves me a million times more than you do. And when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then the world and whatever is within the world, I'm ready to sacrifice that. And he said to his mother, and these were his words to his mother, that, oh my mother, even if you had 1,000 lives and you sacrificed them all, I would still not leave Islam. Even if you sacrificed all of those lives, I would still not leave Islam. These were his words to his mother. So to bring this episode to a close and to an end, what do we learn from this? Firstly, and we learn that when parents command us to do something which leads to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the disobedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, then we are not to obey them. Normally, Islam stresses upon the obedience of parents. And indeed, a person who is disobedient to parents, there are punishments mentioned for him in the glorious Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. But when the parents are telling us, or telling someone, to do something which contradicts the teachings of Islam, at that point, he has to put the pleasure of Allah over the pleasure of the creation. So if his parents are pleased with him, for example, not praying salah, at this point, he has to pray salah, because this is a command of Allah. So at this point, the pleasure of Allah lies in praying salah. And if his parents are telling him not to, he has to give preference to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the pleasure of the creation. And these are the teachings that we receive from our religion, that yes, we do respect our parents to the extent that even if somebody's parents are non-Muslims, disbelievers, he's still to respect them. But he is not to obey them with regards to matters which lead to displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a beautiful lesson for us to take on board. It's also a beautiful lesson for the parents out there to take on board, that when your child is actually doing something religious, you know, when he wants to keep a beard, for example, when he wants to go and travel on a Madani Qafila, he wants to go and join Jamiat al-Madinah to undergo Islamic studies, the Dars-e-Nizami, the scholar course to become an Islamic scholar. He wants to do any of these, you should not prevent him. And particularly, you should not advise him against things like, for example, if he wants to keep a beard, you should not be advising him to, ma'adallah, shave the beard. So at this point, the son is to obey his, the son is to not obey the parents at this point, because he is to give preference to the pleasure of Allah Almighty over the pleasure of the creation. So this is something that we briefly picked up from the blessed life of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, and many lessons to be learned. We're going to be continuing the discussion with regards to his life in our upcoming episodes as well. Today we've had a brief introduction to his life and also what we learned from here. So we'll just to summarize a couple of points that we picked up were respecting the elderly and particularly the relatives, and also obeying the parents, but not in anything which contradicts the teachings of Islam. At that point, the teachings of Islam, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always given preference. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to remember, act upon, and pass on to others what we've heard. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon the blessed lives and the seerah of these individuals and take lessons from them and implement them into our own lives. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special tents of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tents of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum.